Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Long time listener and supporter of you because you tell it like it is.
Here's our Royals insider, Josh Vernier.
That's right. It's our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, going to join us now. He gets an off day, much needed. Gets a nice little Monday off. Vern, Mac just watched Full Metal Jacket for the first time. What do you take away from that movie, sir?
Terrific movie. I think I've only seen it a couple of times. Certainly not one that I can cite verbatim.
Yeah. What should be another movie Mac should watch on Vern's list?
Any movie?
Yeah.
My favorite movie's probably Almost Famous. Great so if movie. He hasn't seen Almost Famous and he likes classic rock, I would recommend that.
Yeah, he'd love that because that movie absolutely bangs, dude. That soundtrack, the storyline behind
Hudson,
it, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I'm a Greek god. Is that what he says when he's on top of the roof? I forget what he says.
I'm a golden god.
Golden god, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay,
great cast, damn.
Vern, I got to ask you, did you happen to listen to Manny Machado's words that he had about
it? I didn't.
Okay, you didn't.
I heard you guys talking at analytics, but I did not hear Manny's quote.
Would you like me to play it for you?
Sure, yeah, please.
I just wish we can get the analytics out the way. I think there's too many stats out there, too many stats, way too many numbers. I don't even know half of the stuff that goes up there. I look at the board sometimes, and I'm like, man, I even asked some of the guys, like, what is WCCVBB, whatever it is, like... Like, what are these names that are being created? You know, I mean, it's just crazy to even keep up with.
Weighted expected on base percentage?
Is it? Is that what it is? Yeah, what is that?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. I mean, the pitching stuff, like FIP or something like that, I think, right?
Fielding independent pitching.
Yeah, like, what is that?
That's taking out the defense to say this guy.
All right, so why would you have that stat?
Isn't baseball how much of a stud a guy really is?
Yeah, but it takes a team to win a ball game, and not just one person. One person could be that guy, right? So one person could carry a team, but this is a team sport. You don't win a championship by just one player. It takes a whole damn village to do it. So why are we creating these stats for? You know, I think that's the problem with baseball right now.
So there you go, Mr. Vern.
I guess I don't really know what the point is. I mean, all sports have numbers that I don't understand or really care about. Manny, you're going to the Hall of Fame, man. You don't need to worry about whatever he's talking about, FIP or weighted on base percentage. Well, then don't pay attention to it. I mean, it's not being forced down anybody's throat. Who cares, right? What's the context? What am I commenting on?
Well, I think he's probably, you know, wondering why he's hitting 169 this year. And you know, the question was asked, I guess. I wish I heard the whole interview, quite honestly, with you, Vern. The whole, you know, one in front of his locker where reporters are just asking, you know, the questions about him. And to Manny's point, I'm listening to, and obviously I agree with everything he says. But I think what needs
but
to
what
be
is
done.
He saying? Like,
well, we need to get
isn't a part of game planning. It's not a part of.
Yeah, I think he
what
was.
Coaches
just,
are telling players like it's.
Yeah, I think he was just
making
up noise.
It's just something for the nerds on the outside.
Yeah,
well,
it
who cares?
But how much of this is getting, you know, given to the players? And it sure
whatever
seems,
they ask for.
It sure
that's
seems like
what
the
hitting coach does.
Yeah, we sure seem like Manny's saying though is like, man, they're giving us all this information. We don't want it anymore. And
well, get a better hitting coach. Get better coaches. If coaches are giving players statistics, analytics. Pre-game prep that they don't want, well, then you're not doing your job as a coach. The only job a coach has is to wait hand and foot on these players. Give them whatever they need, whenever they need it. If they're saying no more analytics and you keep giving them analytics, you're not doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
So, Manny, there isn't anybody more important in that entire organization than you. You can tell them. You can tell your coaching staff what you want to see and what you don't want to see. Maybe not on the Jumbotron, okay?
Right.
I heard him mention the Jumbotron. Oh, okay, maybe not there mm-hmm. because some fans want to see, you know, whatever statistic you're making up. But it's not as if, no, get over here. I'm making you look at your weighted runs created. No, that's just not how it works.
Yeah, Bob Nightingale would go on to tweet about it and saying, someone's going to lose their job with Manny Machado's struggles. He is now hitting 169 with a 5.96 OPS nearly halfway through the season as the Padres are still in a free fall. That, again, is Bob Nightingale. What I want to get with Josh Verner is, thought it was a good weekend with the Ws. Obviously, you take 2 out of 3 for Cincinnati. You take 3 out of 4 from the Twins. But, boy, do those injuries pile up quickly with Jack in the wall with the shoulder, Bobby with the right knee soreness, and then Salvador Perez with the thumb injury. Mm-hmm. Vern, is this just going to be a little blip, or is this one of those, thank God they got an off day Monday and should see some progress on Tuesday?
Well, you feel good about Bob, at least reading what he had to say to Annie Rogers after the game. Mm-hmm. You feel good about him. Salvi's a warrior. He'll come out of this. But it's not as if Salvi, you know, Barkley always says, old people don't get healthier.
Yeah.
Salvi's getting older, and, you know, the hips have been barking all year, so now a busted up thumb doesn't help. Jack's a horse. He'll be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're receiving good news on the Chris Bubich and Cole Reagans and Carlos Estevez front, but honestly, by the time those guys get back, barring something unforeseen from this team, by the time those guys get back, the only thing I'm interested in is them proving to other general managers that we're ready to help you down the stretch, right? When Chris Bubich comes back, it's about flipping him.
Yep.
If Carlos Estevez returns before the trade deadline, you're begging that he looks good so you can flip him. And as far as Cole Reagans, when he returns, you know, we'll see what the rotation looks like, but I don't want Lewinder Avila going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Cameron doesn't deserve to go anywhere. Neither does Steven Kolek. Waka and Lugo are your two highest paid players. This bullpen's in shambles. I'd like to see Cole Reagans maybe ease back into the big leagues coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, and Vern, that's kind of where I am with you now. You can get positive results from a season that has already dissipated, and that means trading some of these guys and hopefully getting some guys back that can help your minor league system right now. Because when you look at, you know, the rankings across the board, whether it's Baseball America, MLB.com, ESPN.com, they're all in the bottom third. So they can take some of these guys, hopefully, and maybe get a prospect or two that can maybe help move this thing forward. But I don't want a little winning against the Twins and Reds to cloud what still is an unforeseen season that stinks right now that prevents you from maybe making trades because you're trying to hang on to being relevant in September when we all know we're past that point now.
And that's what you're going to – and you know this, Bob. That's what you're still going to hear from the organization. They're not going to – openly admit that we're waving a white flag. They're going to give this team, I would think, a little bit longer, right? Another month before they, I think, start pulling the trigger on these trades. Chris Bubich, to me, of the expiring contracts, is the guy that could bring you the most back in return. The rest of these expiring contracts, from Strom to Lane Thomas, John Schreiber, Starling Marte, maybe you can find, you know, the needle in the haystack, and you find some unheralded prospect that comes here and takes off. But to your point, yeah, Bob, and I mentioned this on the post-game show yesterday, to the optimistic Royals fans that see this recent run in which they've won 5 of 7, and now, you're excited, you're buying back in, they're calling the postgame show. They're acknowledging that we are only 5.5 games back of that final wild card. That's all well and good. So I'm not trying to necessarily snuff out your excitement. I'll give the team this: they've at least forced some Royals fans to at least pay attention on this homestand. Had they lost that game yesterday, I understand if people are just completely checked out. But the return at home, 6 games, 3 with the Rangers, 3 with the Astros. I understand if people want to hang in there, give them this week, see what they can do, because you still have 2 months until the trade deadline, a month until the All-Star game. I know the front office keeps pointing to the fact that this rotation's giving us a chance every single day, and they certainly are. 33 quality starts in 66 games. But my question is, are we now going to bank on this rotation over the final 96 games to give you, 48 quality starts?
That's,
I just
a lot,
can't do that.
Dude, yeah, I mean, my God.
81 quality starts. We're banking on them to have 50% of the games they turn in a quality start. They've already done that, and you fumbled it, right? You had an opportunity because of that rotation, and you were unable to capitalize. I can't expect it to continue for the final 3 months of the season.
Yeah, that's crazy. Daniel Lynch is another name Dusty's talked about, and I've seen some conspiracy theories on Twitter from people, and I'm just going to bring them up to you because I think they're funny, but maybe there is some truth to it. Are they not putting him in high leverage situations because they don't want to risk it because of the trade value?
No. Lynch is still facing the biggest names in the opposing lineup, right? When we saw him on Saturday, he faced the 1-2-3 hitters of the Minnesota Twins. Time before that, he's facing the middle of the lineup. He's not getting the ninth inning, sure. But when the best bats are coming to the dish in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, that's the lane for Daniel Lynch. Now, I do think there is, I don't know if it's concern, but I do think that the organization wonders if Daniel Lynch truly is a closer. I don't believe that they do.
Sure.
I don't think that they view him as one of the 30 best relievers in the sports, but they are putting him in higher leverage situations, certainly higher than they are Matt Strom or John Schreiber or really anybody else outside of the guy that's trying to pick up those final three outs of the game. But Daniel Lynch, certainly a name that could be moved because it's hard to envision his value being any higher than it is right now.
Vern, I want to bring this up to you because you know we're both gambling degenerates, so we know the saying of whales and gazelles when it comes to betting, right? Either move first.
No.
You don't know that saying. Okay, so like the whales would wait until Sunday about 11 o'clock to make their bet for the Sunday ticket, whereas gazelles move quicker, obviously. They do the bets before the lines can shift, before the injuries come out, or who doesn't practice, right? So when it comes to the trade deadline, which is Monday, August 3rd at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Time, are the Royals going to be whales or gazelles? Do you think they move quickly with the trade deadline, or do you think they move at the end of that trade deadline?
Yeah, that's a good question. JJ's track record says the latter, that they will act quickly. But you also need the owner to turn the key as well. Right, he needs to acknowledge or allow the general manager to wave a white flag on a season in which, you know, this owner is spending more than the first place Guardians and the first place Rays and the Athletics, who are still in the mix in the American League West. Now, personally, yeah, they should be gazelles, right? I mean, Vinny had a nice road trip. You know, he hit, 325 across the 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys, I mentioned this on the post-game show. Man, if I would have told you on opening day that Bobby Witt Jr. is the front runner for the American League MVP, that the rotation is giving you a quality start in 50% of the games, and that Carter Jensen leads the team in RBIs, I don't know about you, but I would think this team's in first place.
Yep.
The fact that they're not, to me, comes back to four things: Vinny, Salvi, the bullpen, and the injuries. Those four things. Does this organization believe that those four things can be fixed, rectified in the next 2 months? I don't. And that's why I just don't see how they could be anything other than gazelles.
Yeah.
What's the over-under you'd put on players that the Royals would move? I'll give you 3.5.
Over.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You're going to take the over. Okay. So yeah. Rank them for us, Vern, like who you think they were going to move first and then who has the most value second.
Well, Bubich has the most value.
Okay.
Well, of guys that I think actually will be moved.
I mean, obviously has value. Yeah, but right.
And even Waka. Waka has more value than Bubich, but I don't think he's going to be moved. So I'll say Bubich. Lane Thomas has to go. His ability against left-handed hitting. We'll get him shipped out of here. If John Schreiber can keep it up, I think he's a goner. He's a free agent to be.
Okay.
Again, Daniel Lynch's stock, I can't imagine, is ever going to be higher. I think you move on from him.
What about Matt Strom? Vinny?
Yeah, to me, Vinny's value is too low right now.
But with the Yankees needing a bat, you know, with Judge being out.
I don't think Vinny's that bad.
Okay.
You know, because they have Ben Rice.
Yeah.
Ben right now might be the American League MVP. He's holding it down at first base.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't see where Vinny fits in.
Okay. Just a bat as a designated hitter off the bench or whatever. You know, I'm just trying to think of, like, if you trade Vinny, then you can move Jack to first base, and that problem is now solved, you know?
I like Jack and Wright.
I do too, but
I think he's a very good defender out there. You can find first baseman.
Okay,
I think it's tougher to find that arm and that athleticism out in right field. So I think I keep Cags out there.
Okay.
No, I'm not taking nickels on the dollar for Vinny Pasquantino. And, this team already lacks, in my opinion, lacks leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Vinny hasn't been holding up his end of the bargain this season as far as production. He has been as far as, you know, trying to use his voice despite hitting around 200. But, man, the ripple effect of that type of move, not only on this year's team but on next year's team, I don't know if the guys inside that clubhouse have the ability to recover if you trade away a Vinny Pasquantino,
gotcha.
Not to mention the amount of just how low his stock is right now.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. When you're saying that, it kind of reminds me of everybody wanted Guthrie cut in 2015, and somebody said to me, "You go tell the other players we're getting rid of that guy and see how it goes." You know,
right. But hopefully Vinny's you look at what he did on this road trip, more walks than strikeouts, 6 multi-hit games in that 10-day stretch. We know he's a good hitter, so I understand people are probably getting on me, all, Vern, you're a homer and all. Vinny has 4 years of big league evidence that he's a good hitter. He needs to do it more than just 10 games on the road, no doubt about it. He needs to do it against left-handed pitching as well, no question. But he at least has a track record to where I can point to this road trip and say, that looks like the Vinny Pasquantino I fell in love with years ago.
You would also mention Carlos Estevez, and if he can come back and show something, that's a pretty big name that would put you over big time on the 3.5 number.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Throw Carlos in there, no question about it, but I just have so little expectation for him. Return, what he's going to look like when he returns, that just might be a total loss for 2026. But yeah, if he can come back and throw strikes and save a couple games, man, you flip him to a team in contention. I think what's going to be disappointing about it is the team that brings in your closer, Carlos Estevez, will likely throw him in the 6th or 7th inning.
I would assume you'd like to see 4-2 on this homestand.
I just want to see good baseball.
I hear you.
Throw strikes, execute, make the fundamental play. Just play quality baseball. Hey, and keep Bobby healthy, please.
Yeah, let's have a little fun. We got about a minute left. What does Vern do on an off day?
All the things I've been putting off, hopefully. Okay. Hopefully. I mean, I'm just such a procrastinator. I'll probably end up sitting down watching MLB Network, falling asleep, waking up and going, well, it's almost time for the NBA Finals. We'll put it off to the next off day.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
You got the Spurs tonight, or you got the Knicks? Just go ahead.
Man,
and
last
this
last week, it's Wemby's league and all that, and then the Knicks and Cat just come out and dominate. So
it's the Knicks league now, right?
Yeah, you know what? It doesn't matter what I say. I'm happy for you, Bob. I'm happy for Knicks fans. I hope you guys finish it off.
It's going to be so much. Everybody's going to have fun when the Knicks win this thing, and we all watch the celebration. You just know it's going to be wall to wall of just glory.
It's just hard to dislike anybody on that team, too.
That's the other thing. I mean, a New York team where everybody's likable and the entire country's rooting for them. I mean, it's crazy.
Even the fans. I don't know if there's a fan like Ben Stiller and Tracy Morgan, even Spike Lee and Timothy Shabblegoop. I mean, they're all pretty easy to root for.
Yeah. They don't have that hated super fan, you know?
Right. It's like the Royals back in the day. Yeah. Everybody loved the Paul Rudd and all those guys out on the field.
And everybody loves Josh Verner. At least Dusty likes.
That's not true.
Well, that's
it's
true.
Are they hating you now, Vern? Because the team's losing. It's your fault again.
Well, it's back and forth. Friday, I was the most negative person in the city, and yesterday, I wasn't telling the truth. I was being too honest.
Oh yeah, you're not going to win. Right. So you're doing your job. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, why don't you sleep on that off day? There we go, Vern. We appreciate you. That's our Royals insider, Josh Verner, here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up on the other side, we get into, the craziest thing we see here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals Baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5
The Fan.